Thank you for joining us, and welcome to Crossroads. For more information, visit us online at crossroadsny.org.
Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Crossroads, and I'm glad that you're with us. Why don't we give God a hand for the worship that we just had? This morning, we're kicking off a brand new teaching series that I'm going to tell you a little bit about in just a moment. But the first message today is on dedication. And one of the most beautiful illustrations of that in all the Bible is the dedication of children. Children are indeed a gift from God. And like all things that we have, whether they be possessions, our health, our family, especially our children, God wants us to recognize the fact that He's the gift giver of such blessings, and He wants us to present those blessings back to Him. Because after all, God knows what's best for our children, especially in these days, and God has given us the gift of children. And so throughout Scripture, whether it was Hannah who was barren, who prayed for a child and God blessed her with the great leader Samuel, or of course the Lord Jesus Christ, when Mary and Joseph took him to the temple and with two turtle doves, because they didn't have enough money to afford a lamb, they dedicated and presented the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in like manner, we're required to dedicate our lives, but dedicate our children as well. And so this morning, we have the privilege of dedicating three beautiful babies. Children are indeed a gift from God, as Psalm 127:3 says. And so without any further ado, I'd like to call up the Kyles family. We're going to dedicate baby Anaya. Please come forward. Give them a hand as they come up. Is she sleeping or no? Okay. If she cries, I'll blame you. Okay. All right. This is baby Anaya. Why don't we wave to this beautiful baby right here? You know, the scriptures say that before we are even conceived in our mother's wombs, that God knows us and that He has plans for us. Every child is planned by Almighty God. And so is this beautiful child. And so it's fitting that we come before God and we ask for His blessing upon this family. Now, this family, they got four children here, so they need extra prayers. This little beautiful angel here, I went to see her in the hospital. And sometimes I love going to see babies in the hospital unless I'm sick, and I won't go there as having two children myself. And this little baby was as quiet at the hospital as she is right now. And so we pray that Almighty God would bless her with this same sweet, sensitive spirit all the days of her life, that she would grow up to know, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him and follow the plans that He has for her life. And so as a congregation, we present Anaya and the Kyles family before you, and we do so because as a church family, it's fitting that we support them in prayer, and we support this child with our prayers and our love. And so bow with me for a word of prayer as we dedicate Anaya. Father in heaven, we realize all children are a gift from You. We thank You for this child's life and soul. We pray for Anaya. You know every hair on her head. You know all the days of her life. They've already been planned out. And so, God, we stand on Your promises this morning, and we declare that which You've already said in Your word. We pray, O God, that Anaya would trust in You with all of her heart and lean not on her own understandings in all of her ways all the days of her life, that she would honor You, and we trust that You will make her path straight. We dedicate her before You, God, realizing that You have blessed the Kyles family with this beautiful girl. We pray for God, for You to preserve her and protect her, O God. For every day of her life, every step that she takes, God, You know what college she will go to. You know what career she will choose. And so it's fitting for all of these children that we dedicate them to You. We pray Your blessing upon the head of this child and upon the Kyles family home. We thank You for our Christian faith. We thank You that You, Lord Jesus, loved children, and You wanted all children to come to You. And so we dedicate this child to You. We pray a blessing of physical, mental, and spiritual health over her life, all the days of her life. And we commit her now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Mwah. Now stay right here. We got something for you. As is the practice of the church, we believe that the most important gift to give a child, well, money is very important. Trust me, you got to pay for college, and we have that plan. But the best plan is God's Word. And so we give you this little Bible here, a little pink Bible, Kevin, okay? And we have this dedication certificate that says this certifies that Anaya Josephine Kiles was dedicated to God at Crossroads Church on the seventh day of September 2014, and it recognizes the parents, and it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So God bless you as you go.
Thank you.
Good job, big brother. And give the siblings a hand, okay? The dedication of children is something that has always been preserved in the history of the church. When you study church history, you see the very first church of Jerusalem had this close-knit approach, even though the church of Jerusalem had so many people in it. It was always a priority for family and for fellowship. And in many ways, dedication is that. It's the church as a fellowship coming around the families that give birth to new children. Churches grow different ways. They grow from people moving to the area and transfer growth. People who've never been to church come to Christ and want to start growing or haven't been to church in a while. But one of the sweetest ways that a church grows is biological growth, when the members of the church have children. And it's a joy to see those children be raised up in the church. And so why don't we now give our affection and to the Murphy family as they come forward and dedicate beautiful little Taylor. Say hello to this little beauty queen right here. So, Benjamin, what a treat. He's getting dedicated with two girls today. But this little beautiful girl, Taylor, what a blessing for the Murphy family. And you could just see by her arms and legs how cute she is. You know, I want to bite her right now. I'm Italian, but I'm not going to do it. I really want to do it. She is a beautiful little girl. And our prayer for this sweet little girl is that as she is certainly a bundle of joy, that she would have the joy of the Lord all the days of her life, and that she would bless her grandparents, her aunts, her uncles, and of course her parents, and her awesome big brother, that God would just have a blessing upon this family, upon the Murphy home. And as is the challenge for all of us parents, we're our children's best example. And so whenever you see parents come up here for dedication, yes, it's for the children, but it's for us parents, because this is a difficult world to raise your children in. In many ways, we're swimming upstream. And so it's important that we ask for God's blessing of peace and prosperity and His blessing upon these little children. And so I want to ask you now as a congregation that we would dedicate our newest little member here before God. Why don't you give her a little wave right here, make her feel real welcome. That's your church family right there, okay? All right, let's pray a blessing over a beautiful Taylor. Our Father and our God, we thank you for Taylor. We thank you, O God, that you formed her together in her mother's womb. She is tailor-made just the way you wanted her to be. We pray a blessing over her life, God, a blessing of health. Lord, a blessing of spirituality, God, that she would grow to know, trust, and follow you. We pray that her, as well as her brother Connor, would bring much joy to their family's home. Lord, that they would grow up to walk in your commandments, O God. Lord, most importantly, we dedicate Taylor before you because you know all of her life's details. You know all the courses she will take. And so we see fitting to surrender to your sovereignty, O God, and to ask for your blessing on this gift you have given to the Murphy family. We pray a blessing over their home, God, that you will provide for all of your needs according, all their needs according to your riches in heaven. Lord God, that your commands and your will, God, would be done in their lives and in their home and in their children's lives. And we dedicate Taylor before you now. We also commit all of her life before you, O God. We pray that she will walk closely with you. And we surrender her unto you before all of these witnesses, God. And we commit this prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. You're beautiful. Taylor made. Tailor-made. You can quote me on that, okay? And, of course, this is a Bible for you guys, for Taylor. And this certifies that Taylor Murphy was dedicated at Crossroads Church on the 7th day of September 2014, and it lists the family. And once again, this verse, this is the Apostle John speaking, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." May that be true for all the days of Taylor's life. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Well, this is my second time doing my own child's dedication or part of it. And I have to say, it's an absolute blessing. Many of you know the last 2.5 years have been certainly a journey for our family. But we truly stand here today, and we want to give all honor and praise to Jesus Christ that He heard our prayers and He has blessed our home once again with another child. And so we're so thankful to Him and for your prayers. You know, there was times through this journey that even I lost hope, and Jen and I would be holding each other up. But it's important to know that that God has our back, and He hears our cry. It actually comes before His ear. It says it in the Psalms. And so I'm so joyous today, more so than ever, because I realize that this is a divine answer to God's prayer that we were praying. And so I want to invite my own family and the godparents to come up. And so we're going to dedicate Benjamin, so come on up. Hi. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Now, as I was saying just a moment ago, you know, you go through these spiritual droughts when you're waiting on the Lord, and waiting is the most difficult part of life in the Christian walk. But I have to tell you about Joseph's faith. Joseph named Benjamin, as some of you know, and Joseph had faith. His faith was point on, by the way. Hey, buddy. And Joseph not only wanted a brother, but he also picked the name. After the story in the Bible, as you know, of Joseph and his younger brother, Benjamin. And when Jen was pregnant, we said to Joseph, "We don't know what we're going to have. It could be a boy or a girl. You know, it is a 50% shot either way." And he said, "No, I prayed for a boy, and God is going to give me a brother." And so I thank God for my son's faith, and I thank God for the privilege to hold this beer. He's a talker, so I wonder where he gets that from. But it's a privilege to share our family moments with you and to share the dedication this morning already of Anaya and Taylor and to share the dedication of now our second child. You know, in many ways, Jen and I grew up in this church. We got married the first year we started the church. Some of you have still been with us all the way back to McLean Avenue at the VFW Hall. You remember that? And so in many ways, we've grown up with this church and we love Crossroads so much. And so it is an absolute blessing to share our family life with you. And you need to understand that even though just because I'm the pastor and Jen's the pastor's wife, we have the normal struggles of families too, and we need your prayers too. And so we dedicate this child, this beautiful blessing from God before you, as well as we have godparents that were here earlier for Taylor, and we have godparents today, my sister Donna and brother-in-law Jimmy. And we ask that that you would be a spiritual example, all the godparents and all the members of the church for our children, for when their lackadaisical parents need some help. And so we thank you for the joy and for the blessing of sharing our joyous occasion with you. And once again, we see this as the hand of God's blessing. And we dedicate Benjamin before you today. And I've asked Brother Danny now to come and dedicate Benjamin before the Lord and before our congregation.
Good morning, church. Will you stand with me, please? Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Pariscando family. We thank you for the blessing that they've been to all of us, Lord God. We ask that you would keep your great hand upon them, Lord God, that you would continue to provide all of their needs, Lord God, and bless this church as you already have, Lord God. We truly thank you for their lives, Lord God. Lord, we know Benjamin is an answer to prayer. You heard their cries for another child, Lord God, and you answered. You planned Benjamin's life, Lord God, before a day came to be. We ask, Lord God, that you would keep your great hand on Benjamin, that you would bless him, Lord God, with a heart to love you, to follow you, Lord, to reject evil in all of its forms, that when he comes to know, Lord God, and has decisions to make, that he would choose you and reject anything, Lord God, that would cause him harm or danger, Lord God. We ask that your great hand would stay upon him, Lord, that you would bless him, that his heart would be towards his parents to honor them, Lord God, and that you would grant him wisdom at a very young age, Lord, so that he would honor you. Lord, we dedicate his life to you today, and we ask, Lord God, for your blessing upon him and the entire Pariscondo family. We thank you, Lord God. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Well, I want to welcome you here once again, and so glad that our family and friends could share in this dedication. I want to invite you to take out your teaching outlines as we are continuing our message series over these next couple of weeks titled Blueprint, Discovering God's Plan for Our Life. And as you just saw just a moment ago with all of these baby dedications, that we indeed recognize that our life is best lived through dedicating our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ and that which we have. And so we've titled this new series Blueprint because we believe God has given a blueprint for happiness in the Bible. And over these next 4 weeks, we're going to look at God's version of happiness. In a couple of weeks on our church anniversary, we're going to talk about multiplication, how God wants us to multiply that which we've learned and we've grown with in the faith in Christ. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about partnership, participation, how God wants us to participate in his work and in his plan. Next week, we'll talk about transformation, how it's God's will that we would grow in our faith. But this morning, I want to talk with you about a very important area. I believe that this area, if you had to put it somewhere on the cross diagram, the 4 points of the cross, it would definitely be at the foot of the cross, right where Mary was and John was and the other women as the Lord Jesus hung there for our sins. And this first important message of knowing God's blueprint for our life, an example of what we just saw with the dedication of these beautiful babies, is that of dedication. And I believe dedicating our lives to the Lord is an outline for legitimate, real, lasting, eternal happiness. You'll notice right in the top of your outline, there's a Hebrew word for dedication. And it's important to understand what dedication means. Because typically, you know, we could be dedicated to a job, which is a good thing, but ultimately it's for something for us to get out of it. We could be dedicated if we're an athlete, but it's to perhaps win the goal or the championship. Nothing wrong with that. But spiritual dedication, worship dedication, carries a totally different meaning. It's much more eternal. In fact, as we study it in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, kadosh, it says, means this: to consecrate, to sanctify oneself, to prepare, to dedicate, to be holy, to be separated, to be sanctified. God has called us as a people to separate ourselves from the things of this world that would make us unhappy, that would help and cause us to lose faith. God wants us to be steadfast and focused on his plan, and for good reason. Now, the thought of dedication isn't just with children. We see it throughout the scripture in a number of different areas. People would dedicate the instruments that they would use for worship of God. They dedicated the buildings that they would worship, the temple before God. They would dedicate the spoils of war that they would get. King David did it. In fact, I've given you 12 illustrations of it right there in your notes. Abraham dedicated the altar where his worship took place. We see that way back in Genesis 12:7. Moses, arguably one of the greatest leaders ever to walk the earth. Moses dedicated the Sabbath, the day of rest before the Lord. Thank God for that. The Mosaic Law had guidelines, Moses' law that God gave him. And the first 5 books of the Bible had all guidelines for dedication and worship. You remember Samson? Samson's mother dedicated, was told by the angel, by God, to dedicate her son before he was born, that he was going to be set apart to do amazing things. And he had amazing strength, if you remember the story of Samson. The temple was dedicated in Solomon's day. You could read that in 2 Chronicles. The walls of Jerusalem were dedicated. Nehemiah chronicles that for us as well. I referenced this example earlier. Hannah, remember Hannah? She was barren. People made fun of her all the time that she couldn't have any children. You know, people are still mean just like they were back then, right? When things don't go right for us, they have so much to say. Lots of critics and lots of people who love to rub it in and love to kick us when we're down. Well, that was what Hannah was going through. She was the talk of the town, and people had so much to say why she couldn't have a child. But she prayed, and God blessed her with Samuel, who would be an amazing instrument of God in his lifetime, and she dedicated him to the Lord. David dedicated the gifts from war. God dedicated soldiers to overtake Israel's oppressors. We find that out in Isaiah. And how about Barnabas and Paul? They were dedicated by the church to carry forth the gospel. Paul instructs all believers. This is airtight, so nobody could say, no, not me. Paul instructs all believers that we would dedicate our lives before the Lord Jesus Christ. And then perhaps the most beautiful illustration. I guess if you're going to dedicate Jesus, then nobody could stand and say they can't stand to live a dedicated life. Mary and Joseph, two of the greatest people to ever walk this earth. God wasn't going to choose bums to raise his kid. He chose the cream of the crop. And they had God in their heart. They loved the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, and all their soul. Just read what Mary says after she goes and visits Elizabeth, after the angel came to her. These were two characters that were not casual in their faith. They were steadfast, and they loved God with all their heart. And they did exactly what was required of them. They went to the temple, and they couldn't afford a lamb. A lamb was very expensive. Now, the reason why was because the religious system of the day, the Pharisees, as we would see later, Jesus would actually condemn them for this, and they were hoodwinking people when they needed a lamb, whether it be for Passover or any other sacrifice the family had to make. Say the lamb in our currency cost $10. Well, at the temple, it cost $50. So they made money on people left and right. Well, what if you went to go buy the lamb at the temple? Well, you went to use your money from where you're from. Well, the currency exchange favored that of the Pharisees anyway. And so they got you coming and going. And so people like Joseph, who worked with his hands, a lower to middle class salary, a carpenter, he didn't have much money. And so the only thing they could offer, the law gave them this provision. Instead of a lamb, they could offer two turtle doves. That's where we get that in our songs that we sing for Christmas, two turtle doves. You learn something about Christmas in September. There you go. And so Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus. They presented Jesus at the temple. And so in like manner, not only for children, but for all of us, life goes not, I'm not talking about circumstances, because horrible things happen to good people. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I'm talking about your faith in God. I'm talking about being able to walk through the valley of death, but still know that God is with you, even when you're in the hospital or you're in a difficult situation. You know, happiness is not predicated on circumstance, because if that was the case, we might as well take a bus trip and all go jump off the bridge after we pay that ridiculous toll to go over the Verrazano. So we don't base happiness on circumstance, because our circumstances stink over the course of a year. And for some of us who sit here this morning, you have had horrible circumstances in your life. You're giving Job a run for his money with the tragedies or the difficulties that you have had under your own roof. But what keeps you going? Not your diplomas, not your education, not your salary, not cars, not bank accounts, but your faith in Almighty God. That is what sustains us. And that is the prayer of dedication, that we would live a life dedicated to Almighty God, so that first and foremost, why do we even come to church? That we bring honor to God. It's not about our happiness. It's about God's glory. Life works a lot better that way. And as we live for God's glory, we get the most pleasure. And so throughout the Bible, whether it was children, articles of worship, the temple, whatever it may have been, there was a premium, there was a priority on dedication. And if we're going to know God's plan, God's blueprint for our life, it's important that we live a dedicated life to God. Now, are we going to take detours off the course? Yes. Have I ever taken a detour? Yes. Have you? Yes. If you've ever taken a detour from living a dedicated life, please raise your hand. And the rest of you, we forgive you for lying. We've all done it. We've all stepped away from God's best. We've all taken the bait of evil once in a while. But I thank God that we pray and serve a loving and forgiving God, a merciful God who specializes in restoration, renewal, a God who promises to fulfill that which everything he has said in his word. You know, if you had to go look at God's average for his promises, I could tell you it's a lot better than businesses and some of, some politicians nationally speaking. God has a 100% track record on fulfilling his promises. And that is why we can take it to the bank that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so dedicating our lives is not a waste of time. Dedicating our lives is the best use of our life. And so then how do we live a dedicated life? Well, I want to turn your attention to Psalm 127. We're going to spend the rest of our time there this morning. As you find your place in your Bible, the scriptures are also on the screen and in your notes. Psalm 127 is believed to be written by that of King Solomon. King Solomon is the son, as you know, of King David. Solomon is given the tag as being the wisest man ever. The only problem with being that wise was sometimes he didn't follow his own wisdom. He got himself in lots of different troubles. He struggled in the women department. He was all over the place. So much so that he went against the commands of God and he would take up with pagan women and it would ultimately turn his heart from God. The scripture says that never happened with David, even though David had similar weaknesses. David always found his way back to God, and actually David served the purposes of God all the days of his life. But Solomon kept going to the left and the right, and as you read Psalm 127, it seems that at certain times in Solomon's life, perhaps he took his eye off the ball, off the focus of dedication, and it's refreshing to know that as we study the scriptures, nobody in the scriptures perfect, only Jesus Christ. That's it. All of these incredible heroes of the faith, all of these amazing believers, these sainted of believers, they're wonderful examples of being a sinner and how God loves a sinner and how God could use a sinner when we turn our life back over to him. So all of us are in good company today because we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And we all need to be reminded of the importance of dedication. And so in Psalm 127, this is what the Holy Spirit allowed to be preserved for you and I in the scriptures all these years later. I think incredible wisdom, so timely for the days that we live in. Whether you have children who are young, out of the house, still in the house, whatever it may be, a very important reminder. You don't have to, wherever you are in your life, listen to these words of wisdom from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Thanks be to God for the reading of his holy word. Psalm 127, words of wisdom for all generations, especially this one. Listen to what Solomon is saying here. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. There's nothing wrong with having an awesome home, a large home with all the bells and the whistles. I prefer a nice flat-screen TV so I can watch my Giants. They're 5-0, by the way, in preseason. Let's see if that carries over into the regular season tomorrow. We love all the comforts of home. And you're like me. Sometimes our yearnings far exceed our earnings. We understand that. And then we got to back our way out of debt. But there's nothing wrong with providing for your home. But that's just it. Don't spend your life laboring to have an awesome house, but an unhappy home. There's a difference. If the Lord Jesus is the center of your home, that is dedication. If the Lord Jesus is the center of that which you have, that is dedication. Don't worry about the house, worry about the home. A lot of people have a great house, but they have a lot of turmoil in their home. Now, obviously, you can't control everybody. We're not androids and robots. God doesn't do that either. You pray and you try to do your best and you seek God's best and seek first His kingdom, as the Lord Jesus said, and His righteousness, and He promises that all these things shall be added unto you. And unless you've gotten a letter in the mail for that one child or that parent that has strayed from the nest, or that one child that isn't doing the right thing, unless you've gotten a note from heaven that says, give up, don't stop praying. Got to remember that. Life is not just this blip and it's gone. Yes, we're to run fast and run hard for the Lord, but God's timing is not our timing. And we must remember to stay dedicated to the Lord in our home. Just as Joshua just sang just a while ago, that we need to be the Bible that our children see. Even if you don't have children of the womb, you have children of the Word. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a member of a church, it's your job to model that. Those of you who not only have children, but grandchildren, you have the awesome responsibility of spoiling the kids and then sending them home, okay? But even greater than that, God has blessed you with years on this earth to be a fountain of wisdom. And you don't got to walk around like some Christian twinkie having to talk Bibleology all the time. Don't be a phony. Live it. That's the best way. Show it in your actions. Show it in your affections. Show it in the way we forgive, in the way we nurture. And as I've said before, you know how you spell love? T-I-M-E. That's the best way to love. And as we live a dedicated life to the Lord, that's what matters most. But as we walk through these first two verses, there is a principle that's being implied, and I'm going to tell you in just a moment. The second verse, the second part of this verse goes on to say, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. As you know, as it is today, Israel has always been under attack. The forces of hell want to do everything in its power to motivate the evil people of this world to strike against Israel. It's always been. And God's people throughout history, even though God would rescue them, they would do the salsa dance with God. They would walk with God and dance with God for a little bit, and then they would go back to their old ways. You remember, even after Moses, the great leader, led the people out of captivity, as they were approaching the Red Sea, the people started complaining to Moses that they missed the smell of garlic over in Egypt, where they were getting beaten and whipped. Sometimes we're like that. God has rescued us and taken us away, and we start complaining about we're missing out and missing this and that. No, we're not. You just keep walking, and God's going to do what He did for the children of Israel. He's going to part the Red Seas in your life, because He's promised to watch over His people. He's promised to fortify you and I, to be our sanctuary. He's called us to run into Him, that He's a strong tower. Just as Hannah prayed, and then Mary would pray in Luke's gospel, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. That word in the Greek language, it's where we get magnification from. It means to make big. You have to make God big in your life, and then your faith will be bigger. There's lots of phonies going around telling you to do this and to do that. Let me just save you money and time. Make God the center of your life. Dedicate your heart unto Him. Live a life after the high will and call of Jesus Christ. And God has promised to watch over your life and your home. God has promised to be with you. You know, it says in Psalm 23, although we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Take notice of the word shadow. Because for those whose faith is in Jesus Christ, death, even death, the greatest curse upon mankind, is just a shadow. For we have a home in heaven. We will all lose our battle one day. We will all have a disappointing ending. The numbers are in, as I've told you before. One out of one people die. But the fact is, as we've been promised a reunion in heaven with family, friends, and most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same way that God watches over our soul and we can never lose the deposit of our salvation, is the same way we cannot lose the blessing of His protection. It goes on to say, it is vain for you to rise up early and to go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. What Solomon is not saying is be lazy and stay home. Paul said in Thessalonians, if you want to eat, work. I think that's pretty simple. The Bible advocates for diligent hands. Diligent hands bring in the harvest, it says in Proverbs. What it's saying is that don't be burning the candle on both ends and not trusting in God for your provision. Because what it's going to lead to is eating the bread of anxious toil. Now, I'll tell you, I love bread. Anybody else love bread? I fell in love a couple of months ago. Matter of fact, it was after a baby dedication. I was invited to the party, and they had a lot of food out. And, you know, I have a reputation to uphold as the pastor. I want to make sure I'm hospitable, so I made sure I ate everything when I was there. You know, I want to represent you in the church well to the family. And then everybody moved out to the backyard and the back room where all the food was, and I was left in the kitchen. Confession's good for the soul. With chocolate bread. One of the greatest inventions ever, chocolate bread. Thank God. I can't wait to get to heaven. It's going to be at the banqueting table. I'm putting the order in now. You come sit with me if you want. When you get there, whoever gets there first, put the order in. Well, I started eating it, and I guess that's where you get the Italian word gavone. I had a few more pieces. The next day, I went and got two more loaves. And then the 4th of July came along, and we were at our aunt and uncle's house. We brought some there, and I've just been addicted to it. And I love chocolate bread. I love Italian bread. But I'm going to tell you bread I don't like. The bread of anxious toil. What bread is that? Well, don't worry. They don't sell that at the bakery. We make that bread on our own. We make that bread when we don't depend on the Lord. We make that bread when we're working and busting it and we're going full speed ahead and we think, and we're working really hard, but we're not including God in it. We just kind of tap our cap to God as if he's a dignitary at the baseball game, and we call him to throw out the first pitch in the game, and we pay our religious respects because we don't want to get jinxed or we don't want to have the malachia or something like that. And so God is now some type of rabbit foot or lucky charm. And we hope that we have some spiritual pixie dust. Or some people go the other route and they're real mystical about things. Throw all that nonsense to the side. If God left loving you and I, I'll just put me in it, sinful me, up to my own abilities, then I wouldn't be lovable. But he bases his love for me, not on what I do for him, but what his son has done for me. For the cross, the symbol and power of our faith. This symbol makes hell shake. You need to realize that. And when you go and I go through difficult times, remain dedicated because the power of the cross is still true 2,000 years later. No greater cause to dedicate your life to than that, because the one who died upon the cross is the one who has prepared all the chocolate bread that you can want in this life and in the life to come. And so don't burn the candle at both ends, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives, I love this part. Can we say this part together? Let this be a prayer. Believe this when you say it, and don't mumble it for crying out loud. I don't mumble when somebody asks me, do I want chocolate bread? I go, yes. Together. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Now that's important now. Physical sleep is very important. Somebody once said sleep is overrated. Okay, good, you don't sleep, I'm going to sleep. That's fine. If you think sleep is overrated, just have a baby. In the first couple of weeks, you'll find out real quick. Sleep is a very important thing. But not only physical rest, how about spiritual rest? Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say, all who are heavy laden and burdened, come to me and I will give you what? The lottery tickets, the numbers? I'll give you an answer to all your problems. No, I will give you what? Rest. And rest for what? Your soul. I don't care what bed you sleep on or what beach you take a plane to. Nobody could give you rest for your soul like Jesus Christ. It's important that we realize that. So we've arrived at what I believe is a biblical point here. Write this down in your outline. It's very clear what Solomon's getting across on how to live a dedicated life. Write this down. Depend on God's provisions. A very important factor of life. We must depend on God's provisions. We must stand by Almighty God and depend upon Him. Depend on the Lord. Depend on Him for your family, for your home. Depend on Him to help you in your needs, financial needs, physical needs, the medical needs of your family. And even when you pray and you get what you believe is a no, keep in mind There is a whole nother life to come in heaven that is promised for the believers in Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind, because this life could be very cruel and hard at times. But let us not lose hope, for Jesus has promised and prepared a place for us. And if it wasn't so, as he told the doubting St. Thomas, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have bothered to tell you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, here's a couple of helpful reminders as we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Before I dive in here to this point, any architects in here? Okay, good. So if I'm wrong, nobody could correct me. No, I'm just kidding. I was studying architecture for this message, as I'm going to be using different illustrations and prompts over the next couple of weeks. And I was researching what a number of different architects say about preparation and about their work of putting and formulating a blueprint. And so one particular architect who does very well for himself said that he has hundreds of manuals over his 30 years in practice of being an architect. And he says some may think it's boring, the manual, but the manual is the most important thing, because it gives you all the codes and instructions that you need. It gives you all the framing manuals, it goes on to say, all the guidelines, all the developmental codes. And rather than it just sitting on a shelf, it becomes a tool on your hip in many ways. And I like to think of God's Word as our manual. If you're going to live, and I'm going to live a dedicated life to the Lord, we need to know His Word. We need to be keen to that which He says in His Word. Psalm 119, 105 says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's Word gives us the light so that we could see. A lot of times we take missteps because we're not consulting the manual. Don't lean on your religious background or your good looks, even though you're beautiful people. The truth of the matter is we need God's Word. We need to know what He says in His Word, and we need His wisdom. Did not James, the half-brother of Jesus, the first pastor of the Christian church, say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously without finding fault, James 1:5. We got to know God's manual. A lot we could say on that, but let's move on to the second tool. The second tool that the architect loves to use, and you'll notice these pictures on the screen, is what's called the master calculator. So you have the manuals, and then you have what's called the master calculator. And the calculator is important. This architect, who now has over three decades of experience, said, when he first started out and he was younger and a hotshot, he said that he would do a lot of the math in his head. But even though you can have a good head with math, whether you're you're an architect or you're an accountant, whatever it may be, but especially in the architect business, it's important to have correct measurements. It's better to measure twice and cut once, right? And so the architect realizes that it's important that his measurements are spot on, because it could be very costly if he doesn't. He has to have the exact calculation. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is having a detailed rendering of that which you're bringing before God. And so you'll notice this: know God's manual, and secondly, pray calculated prayers. Now, what do we mean by that? Don't just pray for it not to rain because you're having a good hair day. We got to graduate from those prayers. As we've said before, there are different words for prayer in the Greek language in the New Testament. There's ekonomai, as I've told you before, which is just a regular prayer. Nothing wrong with that. Lord, bless this food, bless this day. Amen. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he would be crucified, before the betrayer, Judas, would come, he told his disciples, you remember this, he told them to pray. What'd they do? They fell asleep. But the word he used for prayer is prosekonomai. Prosekonomai is different than ekonomai in the sense in the Greek language that it speaks of prostration prayer. It speaks of getting on your knees. It speaks of being face down before the Lord. And maybe some of you have been in those situations. You know, there's a time for an ekonomai prayer, and there's a time for a prosekonomai prayer. Jesus said, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. We must pray. We must pray before God. And it's important to pray before God. Look what Psalm 18 verse 3 says as you flip over your notes. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. And listen to this last part. Let's say this last part together and say it with conviction. This is the God we pray to right here. And my cry to him reached his ears. It didn't go into a filing cabinet. How about when you call to check on something, you get these lousy, recordings, and you wait on press this and press that. You need to go on vacation after you get off one of these calls. Your patience is shot. I had to call Keyspan the other day to change over the electric and the gas, and I was on hold for like 20 something minutes. And by the time I got there, but man, it just takes the stress out of you. I'm thankful that we don't have a waiting system. I don't speak to a receptionist when I pray to God. I've been given direct access because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, because he's forgiven my sins. He's forgiven your sins. And we're told that our cries reach his ears. Never forget that. And I know certainly I speak for Jen as well as our respective parents, that we know that our cries have reached God's ears, and he has blessed us with Benjamin. Through these difficult journeys that we've been on, even though we know that God had a plan for that which took place, we still know that in our times of weakness, when we cried out, that our cries came before Almighty God's ears, and we must always remember to give honor and glory to him. And so we're left in the position to dedicate ourselves before God, to depend on him, because that's what leads to a dedicated life. When I say, God, I got it, I'm going to do it. Listen, my friends, God is not the subcontractor of our life. He's the owner and he's the creator. Let's not just call God when the plumbing of our life fails. Let's base it all on him. Let's build our life and our home up to the codes of his holy word. Whether we're young or whether we're old or somewhere in between, it's never too late to live a dedicated life. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, I tell you, whenever a man stands by God, God will stand by him. We must never forget that. Now, as you live for God, I need to warn you of something. People are going to criticize you. Oh, you're going to church? Oh, you're going to do it this way? Oh, you're going to live your life, the manual, you're going to live your life according to the book. You're this, you're that. Could I remind you with great words of wisdom from one of the greatest Yankees of all time, the great Bambino? Throw the Bambino's picture up there. The Bambino's at church today. Here he is. Babe Ruth said it this way: the loudest boos come from the cheapest seats. Let people say all they want about you. Let them stand back and criticize you from their cheap seats. But remember, you have a good view of what God is doing. Remember, you're a participator in God's plan, that you serve the most holy God, that you're surrendering and depending on his provisions, and you believe without a shadow of a doubt that everything he's promised will come to pass, because everything he said about the first coming of his son came to pass, and you could take it to the bank, everything that he has said about the second coming of his son will one day come to pass. And so depend on the Lord, and write this final principle down before we close this morning. Depend on God, on his provisions, and then accept God's assignments as your purposes in your life. Let me explain. Verse 3 of Psalm 127 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." Do me a favor and circle the word heritage in your notes. The Hebrew word for heritage means assignment. This could actually read, as we study it in the Hebrew language, children are a assignment from the Lord. They're an assignment. Now, ABC did a special on this several years ago, and I'm sure the number is elevated, that it costs approximately from the time a child is born to a time that they enter their first year of high school, counting food and everything, $307,000 to raise a child. Anybody still want to have a child? Where's your faith? God will provide. Don't worry. But forget about the money, the stress that's involved with all of that. Children are an assignment from God. Even if they're not your child, your grandchildren are your assignment. Your nieces and your nephews, godparents, we have assignments that are given to us. Those of you who have adopted children, last series we talked all about the orphan and how much God cares for the orphan. God has called us to take serious the assignment. And it says the fruit of the womb is a reward. But we live in a country today that likes to tell children that they're from an ape, that they're a mistake. That couldn't be any further from the truth. My friends, it is very clear that children are planned by Almighty God. not just at conception, but before the foundations of the earth. There might be unplanned parents along the way, but there is no such thing as unplanned children. God has a purpose for each and every one of them. They are a gift from Almighty God. As my friend, one of the great leaders for preserving the life of children, Father Frank Provone once said, when you devalue the life of a baby in the womb, all bets are off because you devalue all human life. And I think that is so true. We must remember that children are a gift. Now, the next verse opens this up not just for when they're children. It says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. And so you can have a lot of children. I met somebody one time that had 8 children. I would say that's a full quiver right there. If you have 8 children, then you're quivering over how filled your quiver is, I guess. It says, he shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. And so children grow up like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. Maybe you've participated in archery before. Even if you're athletic, you know that it's not as simple as it looks. If you're going to shoot an arrow, you got to judge the winds, the trajectory. You got to make sure that you have the right amount of tension. And by golly, you got to make sure you have the right target. My friends, the target is Jesus Christ. And the winds today are swirling very, very fast and swift today more than ever before. And the winds of this day want to take our arrows and they want to throw them right in the other direction. In many ways, as we pull back to shoot our arrows, whether they're children or grandchildren, we're actually going against the wind. That's how difficult and immoral the times that we live in today. But we must remember that regardless of what goes on in the world, God is still on his throne. And the target is still Jesus Christ. And we must take serious the assignment that he has given to us. And not just with children, but in all things that we do in our life. God has given you assignments in your life personally, with your own family, with your jobs. Taking care of a loved one, that is the work of Almighty God. Taking care of your children or your parents, that is, you don't got to get on a plane and go overseas. You can do the gospel right in your own home. That brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must follow through with these assignments. Now, when you do these assignments, they require a sacrifice. But don't worry, God sees the sacrifice. One of the great servants in modern-day history is Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa said it this way, a sacrifice to be real must cost. It must hurt at times, and it must empty ourselves. She said, give yourself fully to God. He will use you to accomplish great things on the condition that you believe much more in his love than your weaknesses. That's good wisdom right there. A lot of times we get caught up, well, I can't do this, God, and I can't do that, and we give a whole list of reasons why we can't. Remember these words from this little woman that so much service came out of her. This little woman that which she did reverberated in heaven. Keep in mind, the way that you serve the Lord and your family might seem quiet and small right now, but it reverberates in heaven. Just ask the widow who gave 0.4 of a penny. Jesus could have talked about anybody's financial offering. I'm sure some of the preachers and ministers and rabbis and priests would love to, certain guys would love to hold up and say, let's talk about all the rich people and what they give. Jesus says, let me tell you about this poor widow who had no State Farm insurance life policy, who had no senior club to go to, who had nothing, and she gave all she had. Jesus said that she gave her life. It's where we get the word bios in the Greek language, biology. She put her life in the offering. And I believe, just like Mother Teresa and other tremendous examples, those of you who are here today who do this on a daily basis, there is no greater sacrifice than living a life dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that by accepting the assignments that he has given to us. And my friends, our country needs to remember the target of where the arrows need to go. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to remember that this great country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Yes, some of the authors of the Declaration of Independence, some of their faith was fugazi, some of it was foggy at best, but some did have a faith in Christ. But still, a lot of the inspiration of the truths we held to be self-evident are biblically based. 19th century Spanish statesman Emilio Castelar traced America's source to one book. He writes the Bible. In 1892, it's recorded that the Supreme Court unanimously concluded without reservation that this is a Christian nation. I believe one of the reasons why our nation is so blessed is for two reasons. Because we support God's people, Israel. And as America, we must never stop supporting Israel. We must stand with them. We must remember that even when President Harry S. Truman helped the United Nations recognize Israel, and we've given billions of dollars in aid, we must continue to stand by Israel and be their ally as God has rained down blessings on this country for that reason. And secondly, God has blessed this country because of the foundation of this country. Just look at the articles that our country was built upon. We must remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his sovereign rule of our life, that truly it's in God who we trust. Especially in these times, friends, as we must live a dedicated life to the Lord. As we know, there are our brothers and sisters in Christ, as I reported last week, and as I close with today, who are suffering for the cause of Christ. Their dedication is a testimony to the faith that we hold to be true and the liberties and happiness that we are blessed to pursue here in America, the blessing of being able to worship. We must pray for all of our local, regional, and national elected officials. Forget about getting caught up in who's this and what party's that. God holds the heart of the king. We must realize that no matter who sits in what office, God is still on the throne. And we must appeal to the Lord. And we must pray that God would raise up for the future of America, for the future of our children, men and women, a lot like Abraham Lincoln, who said, I can't imagine doing this job without bending my knee to the Almighty. We must pray for God to raise up leaders who fear God and walk closely with God and come to God with the needs of the nation and the world. And we must remember to stay steadfast. Even today, the ultimate dedication by children around the world. You know, I think those parents who are, sadly enough, watching their children be murdered right in front of their eyes in Iraq by ISIS, this evil force of hell that we pray God's judgment upon. As young children who are faced with the decision to deny their faith and they don't, you talk about dedication. You talk about a love for God, accepting their assignment. You know, as an arrow gets shot up, that arrow has a purpose. And those arrows, although they're in harm's way, they are hitting the target for Jesus Christ. And how blessed of a reunion will they have? How blessing of a reward they have in heaven for their courage. We must live a dedicated life. So I want to close today with a statement from an African pastor that was found on his personal effects in Zimbabwe after he was martyred for Christ. I read part of this last week and told you I'd save the back end for this week purposely. As we live a dedicated life, the outline for happiness must be understood in this context. This is what this pastor missionary said shortly before that he recorded before he was killed for the cause of Christ in hostile territory. He said, I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his, and I won't look back. Let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, platitudes, or popularity. I don't have to be right or first or tops or recognized or praised or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lifted by prayer, and labor by Holy Spirit power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow. My way may be rough. My companions may be few,
but my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, and paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he does come for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me, for my colors will be clear, and my banner will be for him. If you believe that, say amen. I pray that you have received God's holy word today, Psalm 127. Let us live building our lives on Jesus Christ. My friends, that is the promise that anchors our soul and our life. Lots of other world religions out there who have wonderful programs and processes. But my friends, let me remind you, there's only one who defeated death on the third day. And all of our promises are not based on hearsay. There is an empty tomb in Jerusalem. All faith and honor belong to Jesus Christ for that which he has done on the cross, and that he is risen from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, hearing all of our prayers of dedication from the littlest of children to the individual struggles and problems that we have, to the own deep pains that we suffer within our soul and heart. The Lord hears our cry. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins and rose from the dead, let us live our life in such a way that when the Lord calls us home, he'll have no problem recognizing who we are. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks and praise today. We thank you for Anaya, Taylor, and Benjamin. We thank you for their dedication earlier in the service. We give you honor and praise for these children. We dedicate our own families before you, each and every one of us today, O God. Lord, I know that there are some here today whose children are sick. There are some here today who are still grieving. Lord, there are some here today that are broken, Lord. I pray that you would heal them, O God. And as you say in your word, you bind up the brokenhearted. Lord, I pray if anybody has wandered away and they've come back to you, God, that they would realize that the true life of happiness is not laboring in vain, but following after you. We give you all praise and honor today. We thank you for the cross and the empty tomb. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who showed the greatest example of dedication as he dedicated his life to giving it up so that we might have eternal life. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that heaven is a guarantee. We commit our lives and dedicate them before you once again. We ask for blessing over our homes, and we commit this prayer in the name of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. And all of God's people said,